Welcome this morning, and we want to welcome you online too. And if you're new here, please go by and see us in the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. We want to give to you. And we're excited about this winter as we continue together growing in the Lord. And we have Uncommon that's happening in just in a couple weeks, this men's event. And I'm so excited about it. How many of you guys are going? Raise your hand if you're signed up and ready to go. I'm going to see those who signed up. How many of you guys are going to sign up? You haven't signed up yet, okay? So please sign up. I tell you, this is going to be awesome. I got a buddy of mine named Clayton. I was just with him on a ship, and he's going to be here from Illinois along with a team of other guys. These guys from Illinois who are leading this, and I'm leading it with them along with Jason Doss, who's our men's leader. I tell you what, we're going to have a blast. It's going to be amazing. Fun competitions, car show. We're going to be shooting stuff. We're going to be eating lots of meat. Jesus is going to be here. It's going to be a blast. So be here at 4 o'clock on that Friday. We'll be done by 10 o'clock that night, and then you come back 7:30, have more meat, more Jesus, more fun. And it's going to be a great time bonding as brothers in Christ together. And we'll have you out of here by noon on that Saturday. So once again, register at riverchristian.church/uncommon. You can hit that QR code. And I promise you, it's a great way to bring your kid or your grandson, as long as they're above the age of 13 and above, and they're going to have a blast with you. Or maybe you know a 13 or 14-year-old out there that would enjoy this. Let us know. We'll make sure he can be there and register for this. It's going to be, once again, a life-changing experience right here on our campus. Also, it's that time of year. We do a blood drive, and we're going to have it happen next Sunday, February 18th. And if you're able to give, it's going to start actually Thursday night. If you can't be here on that Sunday, we're going to have it on Thursday the 15th, and then here by 8 o'clock all the way about 1 p.m. So if you want to come here before service, that would probably be wise to do it before. You know, you can sleep during my sermon if you're passed out, or you can do it afterward. And there's a need out there for blood. If you're able to do this, I'd encourage you to do it. So that's something great to do, a way to be a blessing to so many people in our community. I want to give you a heads up. I just got off a ship about a week ago. About less than 24 hours ago, and I'm not lying. Right now, you guys are still moving, okay? We had high seas, so I'm discombobulated a little bit. I'm also sick, and I threw my back out. And somebody told me, you should not be preaching, but I thought, there's no way I'm not preaching this Sunday. Because I know my life is not very long, and I only have so many Sundays with you, and I just love every moment I get to be with my church family, and I just want you to know it is an honor and it's truly a privilege to be your pastor, one of your pastors here at RCC. And I just want to say a big thank you for having me on board with what God is doing here. On top of that, I'm also excited about today because I want to find out how many of you guys are rooting for the Chiefs today. Raise your hand if you're rooting for the Chiefs, okay? How many of you guys are spiritual rooting for the 49ers? Raise your hand if you're, okay? And how many of you don't care at all? You're just, you know, can't wait for the commercials, okay? All right, so you guys are really spiritual. So we're just excited to be on this journey. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, we've been in just a fascinating time. It's just good being back together again. I mean, I still don't take that for granted because it's been weird, you know. It's been with all these debates going on about vaccines and all this kind of stuff for the last several years. But I want to talk to you about something I think that's way worse than flu. It's way worse than COVID. And that is something that's kind of infected all of us and it's caused great damage. And most of us don't even know that we're sick with it. And today I want to talk about the greed virus. Jesus knew how dangerous this was. In fact, here's what Jesus says. He says, be careful and guard against all kinds of what? All kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much one what? Owns. And someone may push back on Jesus and go, well, Jesus, in the real world, you are measured by how much you own. You're measured by what neighborhood you live in and what car you drive and what school you go to and what your clothes, you know, that you wear are. And that may be true of the empires of the world, but Jesus is inviting us into a new kingdom that comes from a different economy. And that's why Jesus talks more about money than any other thing he talks about except the kingdom of God. Because if you're going to live in this kingdom, you're going to have to live by a different economic system. Jesus says, in this kingdom, you cannot serve both God and money. He's saying you cannot multitask here. It's impossible. And Jesus talked about this so much, not because he wanted money, but because he wanted disciples. And so if you're going to get a degree in the school of discipleship following Jesus and taught by Jesus, a required course is salty generosity. You have to understand generosity in this whole new kingdom. And so we're going to look at four different principles in this series. The first one was this one, Generosity 101, God owns all. It starts right here. And if you don't get this right, everything about stewardship is going to be wrong. And then last week, Pastor Travis taught us this, Generosity 201, use God's resources wisely. And he did a great job. And if you missed either one of those messages, go back and listen to it online, riverchristian.church/messages, or you can listen to it on our app. But you may think, well, I don't know about this whole God thing. But here's the thing we can both agree on. You were born with nothing, right? And so you're going to die, you're going to take nothing with you. No one has ever seen a hearse pull a U-Haul, right? That hasn't happened. Now, what that means, whether you believe in God or not, everything that you own is actually on loan. It's going to end up in somebody else's hands. And if you do believe in God's God, that leads us to the third principle, and here it is, Generosity 301. Manage God's trust fund. That's what we're talking about today. When we realize that we actually own nothing, we realize it's our responsibility to be a steward over what he loans to us. In fact, we don't really understand this idea of steward. Back in the day of Jesus, what they would do is you would accrue wealth through farming or through livestock. And so what we would do, you had an owner, and the owner would come to you. You're pretty smart, you're sharp, and he would come to you and say, I want you to be the steward. So I want you to be the steward of what I own. You're like, okay. Now eventually the owner will go away and he takes off for weeks or months or years. And you're stewarding, you're managing his resources. But eventually you know he's going to come back. Now he can't check in. All right, he has no Zoom, he has no text, he has no cell phone. But one day he's going to come back. He's totally trusting you. And so when he comes back, the first thing he's going to do, he's going to find you. And he's going to ask you, how did you take care with what I trusted you with? And so as a steward, somebody who manages the assets of the owner, you might not know this, but the very first command in the Bible actually has to do with stewardship. In Genesis chapter 1, God tells us all that I made this, I made that, I own everything. And at the end of Genesis chapter 1, he looks at the man and he says, now you rule and you have dominion. In other words, I own the ranch, but you take care of the ranch. You run the ranch. The very first thing that man is taught from Scripture, from God, is to be a steward. This has huge implications. This has implications of how you take care of the environment. Yes, ecology is a spiritual matter because this is not your world. It's whose world? It's God's world. It has implications for your time because guess what? You don't make time. God allows you to have so much time. So what do you do with the time that God has allowed you to experience life in? It has implications with your body. By the way, your body's the body that you made. You didn't really make it, right? And so how do you take care of your body? How do you eat and how do you exercise? How do you rest? The word says to us, God's word says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. He says, honor God with your body. Has implications for your kids. This might be good news for you. Your kids are not your kids. They're God's kids. I don't know if you know that. You're like, thank goodness. Okay. So, but your kids are on loan from God. How are you stewarding them? So certainly has implications for finances because they're really God's. We are to actively and responsibly take care of God's creation for God's purposes, which means this. We don't see ourselves as entitled. We see ourselves as entrusted. That's what we are. We're stewards because this is his kingdom. And in this kingdom, you don't measure a life by how much someone owns. You measure a life by how they take care of what God owns. And we're going to be held accountable, by the way. It's in every one of these stories that Jesus tells us, that Jesus tells the owner is going to come back and he's going to ask you and me the question, did you manage well what I trusted you with? So listen to me really clearly, even you online. Here it is. Jesus is coming back. He really is. I've read the syllabus. It's right here. And don't act shocked and go, I didn't know there was going to be a test at the end of this. There is. It's in the syllabus. And I want you for a moment to consider the heaviness of why we do this, why I'm so passionate about preaching every week. There's a German theologian by the name of Helmut. He preached during World War II. He would preach when bombs were going off all around him. One day he's walking by and a building that used to be there is no longer there because a bomb blew it up. He sees a woman in his church standing by the building. And she says to him that that's where my husband died a few days ago. They never found his body, but that's the spot where he died. What do you say to that? I'm sorry? And all of a sudden, he noticed that she wasn't looking for sympathy. She was coming to him to give thanks. And she said to him, she said, I thank you, Pastor, for preparing my husband for eternity. And this is my prayer every week. This is the heaviness of this moment. I've got a few minutes to give you, to get you to think about eternity. Because stewardship is not a program, it's a lifestyle. It's a witness to the world of the next world, which is, by the way, the real world. So let's think for a moment. What does it mean to manage God's trust fund well? Number one is this: my use of money will not get me into heaven. I want to be really clear. I want you to hear me say, you can't buy heaven. You can't pay off God. The only thing that can ransom a sinner like me is the blood of Jesus Christ. But some of these stories that Jesus tells seem to imply there's a connection between management and judgment, especially in Matthew chapter 25, because Jesus tells three stories in Matthew chapter 25. The question is this: are you going to be ready for eternity? Are you going to be ready? He tells a story about foolish virgins and wise virgins, and there's a groom coming, and the wise ones were prepared and the foolish ones were not prepared. And so the moral of the story is pretty simple. Don't be foolish. The groom is coming, and that groom is Jesus. And he tells the next story about three guys who this owner entrusts. He entrusts them with different amounts of assets. The owner goes away, comes back. The first two guys, they actually invested well, managed well, and they hear, well done, they're rewarded. But the third steward did not invest well, and so he's called lazy, and then he is receiving punishment. But the third story, wow. Matthew chapter 25, about the sheep and the goats. Look what Jesus says about the third story. Look what it says. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. I want you to notice it says, take your inheritance. Remember that. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Now notice, they were told to take their inheritance. By the way, you cannot earn an inheritance. It's not a wage. An inheritance is a gift. You received it because someone else dies. Every week I realize someone is listening to me that has never had it clearly explained to them what God did to save them. So listen close. You and I are sinners. And sinners deserve the wrath of God. A just God punishes sin. But a gracious God, what he did, he sent his one and only Son in the flesh to take your place and my place of punishment. Jesus went to the cross, and the judgment that we deserved was put on him. And the perfect righteousness that Jesus should have was then put on us. You don't buy heaven. You don't purchase salvation. It was purchased for you. It was a gift. You inherit it because you have become the son and daughter of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. And so from the story, you notice that the sheep, they have no idea of a concept called merit theology, that I earn my way to God. Like, they have no concept of that. Look how the sheep respond. They go, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When were you thirsty? When did we give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for, look at this, one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, look what it says, Jesus says, you did for me. You did it for me. So the sheep aren't boasting. They're not like, man, we nailed it. No, their hearts overflow to the others around them because their hearts have been changed by grace. They do what they do because they love the king. And if you love the king, you love who the king loves. And you understand it's more than just saying, oh, my heart goes out to them, bless their heart. No, no, it's more than that. No, when you love who the king loves, you give to them. Now, I know my money can't get me into heaven, although Jesus seems to be applying this. Number two, my money can keep me out of heaven. Now, we have to interpret the parable through the backdrop of his other teachings. Now, let me be clear. There's one sin that damns, and that is a rejection of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said this, unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will what? Church, say it with me. You will do what? You'll die in your sins. But preparing people for eternity, what Jesus seems to be saying is the surest sign that you've enthroned me in your heart, Jesus says, is that you have dethroned greed. You have dethroned the way that the world, the kingdom of the world, handles money. And the way you handle money in this world is the clearest indicator whether or not you have really trusted Jesus for the next world. So let me give you two stories that are really fascinating that Jesus tells us. In Luke chapter 12, there's this rich guy. And he has this huge, tremendous crop and harvest. He's also got a barn. And the barn's already full. So what does he do with this huge, tremendous crop? Well, also, you need to know he's surrounded by a bunch of hungry, poor people. And so he tears down his barn. This is what he does. He tears down his barn so he can build a bigger barn for himself. And then the Bible says, Jesus says, that all of a sudden, after he builds that barn to store more stuff for himself, guess what happens to him? He croaks. He dies. And God calls him a fool. Three chapters later, there's a story about another rich man. And at his gate is a guy named Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is a beggar. Then the rich man never hurts Lazarus. He never, though, helps Lazarus. And the rich man dies, and then he goes to a place called torment. Now, Jesus tells us both of these stories, and in these stories, Jesus doesn't tell us of all the wrongs that these guys did. What he says is that they didn't do the right things. See, the stuff of their sin was a sinful use of their stuff. The stuff of their sin was a sinful use of their stuff. The problem was not that they were rich, it was that they were just rich. They saw themselves as entitled owners instead of as entrusted stewards. Some of you have been out hiking, you've seen a beautiful stream, it's flowing. Me and my wife are in Dominican Republic this past week. And there we got, like we jumped inside of a stream that was flowing. It had life. It was clear. There was fish. It was just beautiful. It was cold. And we're walking through it. And you get to a waterfall. And then you slide off the waterfall. And you drop in the pool. And then you keep going through the water, through this canyon. And you see another waterfall. And you slide off that waterfall. It was just life-giving. It was fun. But if I come back a year later, and all of a sudden the water's not moving and it's stagnant, what's it going to be? It's going to be murky. There's not going to be much life. There's not going to be much fish. There's going to be a lot of algae. And it's like, okay, well, how did that happen? The spillway is blocked. The water comes in, but it can't go out. See, God's created creation to operate in the law of receiving and giving. You know, as a hiker, you find moving water. You know it's clean. You know it's pure water. And listen to me, church. You know, you are the same way. God made you the same way. God designed you to receive and to give. He gives it to you to give it through you. You are a channel. And if you dam up God's blessing, something starts to pollute your heart. It starts to pollute your heart. See, here's a good question. If you don't own it, why does God loan it? If you don't own it, then why in the world did God loan it to you? Why does God trust you with what is his for a season? It's only for a season, by the way. You're not going to have it forever. Why does he trust it with you for a season? There's a legend back in Europe about a man who got some gold. And he goes out to a field and he sees a tree, and by the tree, he gets a shovel, and he starts digging the hole, and he puts the gold at the bottom of the hole, and then he fills the hole up and walks away. And then a week later, he comes back, and he digs up that same exact spot, and he sees the gold, and he just stares at it for a while. And then he fills a hole back up, walks away. He does this week after week. Somebody watches him do this, and they figure out his rhythm. And when he walks away, they wait a while. Then they go, and they dig up the same spot, and they steal the gold. They fill the hole. They leave. The guy shows up a few days later. He digs, and there's no gold. And he yells and he screams and he calls such a commotion. The neighbors come run and they ask him what happened. He says, someone stole my gold. And the neighbors go say, they said, so what did you do with your gold? He says, nothing. I would just come out and I would just stare at it. And the neighbor says, well, then why don't you just come out and just stare at the hole? It's not meant to sit there and be about you, right? That's not why God gives it. And if you don't own it, why did God loan it? Jesus doesn't, he just wasn't an advocate for investing in the empires of the world, but I want you to hear me. Jesus, he was very bullish in investing in the kingdom of God. Look what he said in Matthew chapter 6. Don't store treasures for yourselves, like that goofball here on earth, where moths and rust will destroy them and thieves can break in and steal them. What's he saying? Don't invest in moth food. That's basically what our stuff's going to be one day. It's just going to be moth food. But store your treasures in where? In heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, or where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where what? Your treasure is. So here's what you do. You seek first whose kingdom? God's kingdom. And what God wants, then all your other needs will be met as well. See, here's the amazing thing. I can't use my money to get into heaven, but number three, my use of money can put treasure in heaven. My use of money can put treasure in heaven. It doesn't matter if you're wise. It doesn't matter if you're foolish, because guess what happens? You're going to die. But a fool is going to leave everything behind in the barn. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's going to make your eyes roll, all right? Back a few years ago in Sydney, Australia, there was a young father. He's got a wife. He's got some debt. So he comes up with a brilliant idea. I'm going to sell my car. Sells his car for $15,000. And for some reason, I don't know why, he can't go ahead and deposit in the bank account. So he's got $15,000 of cash that he needs to hide for a few days. And instead of hiding it in the mattress or underneath the mattress or somewhere else, like in the closet somewhere, he comes up with a brilliant idea. He decides to store the money in the oven in the kitchen because they never use it. You know where this story's going. His wife comes home that day, decides to preheat the oven to warm up some chicken for the kids. And all their money is destroyed and burned up. And I already know what you're thinking. What fool would put his treasure in a place where it will all burn up? You just took the words right out of Jesus' mouth. What fool invests in a place destined to burn? Jesus says, don't be that guy. You can't take money with you, but you can send it on ahead. Jesus says, increase your heavenly portfolio. You're like, well, how do I do that? You did it earlier. When you were worshiping Jesus Christ, you are increasing your heavenly portfolio. Every time you resist the pull of sin or the pull of the crowd and you start heading in the direction of Jesus Christ, you're increasing your heavenly portfolio. Every time you're kind and compassionate and you serve another human being, whether they think you or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, you're increasing your heavenly portfolio. Every time you take something out of your barn, so this church or some other Bible-believing church can keep telling the world about King Jesus, you are increasing your heavenly portfolio. Because remember what the king cares about. Here's what the king cares about. He cares about people. He cares about people. In the empire of the world, he uses people to win money. But people in Jesus' kingdom, guess what? They use money to win people. We use money to win people. That's why our mission statement here at RCC is to win people to Jesus Christ. Paul, Apostle Paul, said these words, command those who are rich in this present world, which is 99% of us, not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put your hope where? In God. but who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in every in all good deeds, and to be what? To be generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. That's where we're going. In the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is what? That is truly life. Because here's the truth. You're either moving away from or toward your treasure. If you put your treasure in a barn, newsflash, you're moving away from it. Because that's not where you're going to end up. But if you put your treasure in the kingdom of God, you are moving towards it. That's why I can't wait to be in heaven one day and somebody's going to come up to me and they're going to say, thank you so much for your generosity. Because of your generosity, I heard about the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm in heaven because of that. Can you imagine the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are going to be in heaven because of the generosity of just this one church right here, RCC? I mean, it just blows my mind. That's where we put our treasure in. But here's the coolest thing, I think, about being generous. My use of money can bring heaven to earth. My use of money can bring heaven to earth. Jesus says so clearly that heaven is on the way. Look what he says. He says, I assure you that when the world is made new, and by the way, that made new right there is Genesis all over again. Genesis chapter 1, the way that God made the earth is going to happen again. That's going to take place. That kind of world that God wanted is coming again. And the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne. I love that. There won't be any debate about who Jesus is. Why? Because every knee will bow. This is going to happen. This is coming. You who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone, that means you, who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property. Jesus says, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. Because here's the thing. Jesus isn't asking us to escape the world. Jesus is asking us to join the mission of God to renew the world. That's what we're a part of. Because I've read the syllabus, and at the very end, God says, behold, I am making everything new. And we as a church, full of stewards, are to witness to this coming reality. The owner's coming back, and everything is going to be made right. And the kingdom will be established. And what we're doing is we're managing God's trust fund. We're not just marching into heaven. We're marching into the world to give the world a glimpse of heaven. And that's what we're committing to. And that's what I'm asking you to do in 2024. Will you commit with me and my wife, Rachel, that we're going to give more than we've ever given before in this year to expand the kingdom of God and bring heaven right here in our world? We're going to give it with joy because we're putting our treasure in heaven. And we believe this with all of our hearts. And we want people in this world to know that the real kingdom is on the way. And it's right here. When you give to RCC, let me tell you what you're doing. You want to be a blessing to local schools? RCC does that. You want to encourage teen moms that choose life and not to have abortions? RCC does that. You want to help thousands and feed thousands of people right here, needy people right here in Clay County. Guess what? Every year, RCC does that. You want to help comfort those who are grieving? RCC does that. You want to make sure at least 500 kids each and every week hear about Jesus Christ? Guess what? RCC does that. You want to help those who are struggling through divorce? RCC does that. You want to help provide toys and resources for kids during the holiday season? RCC does that. You want to help malnourished children and help farmers support their families? RCC does that. You want to help the poor and the needy right here in our community? RCC does that. You want to provide HD teachings that can be used to reach the lost here at home and all over the world? RCC does that. You want to support missions all over the world? RCC does that. You want to be a blessing in nursing homes in our community? RCC does that. You want to give good news of Jesus to local junior high students in our county? RCC does that. You want to feed over 130 local families during Thanksgiving? RCC does that. You want to help people get over over their hurts and their habits and their hangups to the power of Jesus Christ, guess what? RCC does that. We are bringing heaven right here to earth. Can we give God the praise for all that he does through your generosity? Because the gospel's more. It's more than just if you die tonight, do you know where you're going? That's important. But it's also this. If you wake up tomorrow, do you know what you'll be doing? Why, yes, you do. Because as managers, as stewards of the trust fund of God, you and I will partner in the mission of God to make Jesus famous all over the world. And there's nothing better. It's an amazing vaccine against greed, and it's a wonderful way to live. A few years ago in California, there's a Christian couple ran a deli, and there was a poor man that basically lived next door to their store. And they did every single day. They made sure he got food. They made sure he didn't go to sleep hungry. One day, their deli was robbed. And the police show up, and they see, his name's Garland. They see Garland, the homeless guy there, and they see him with some kind of bag, some kind of basket that's sold there at the store. And they assume that he must have did the robbery because of the basket he had. But the owners, the two Christians show up, and they realize what was going on. They didn't want to embarrass Garland. They said, no, we gave him that bag. And in fact, to rescue him from further embarrassment, the husband opened up the cash register, and all of a sudden, he just kind of made up a number. He pulled out $38.67, and he hands the money to Garland, and he says, "Here, Garland, I forgot to give you your change." 3 days later, Garland dies. A few weeks later, a lawyer shows up and he says to the Christian couple, he says, "Garland left a note and stated that you get everything he owns in his travel bag." And in the bag was a sack of bird seed and a Bible and a bank book. In fact, the last entry in the bank book was $38.67. And it brought the grand total of the bank account to $3 million. And that bank book was inside the Bible, right there in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus says, "And I was hungry, and you fed me." I don't believe in prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that if you'll be generous, God is going to give you a whole lot of money. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that every single story, when the owner comes back and the steward has been faithful, the owner says, and I can't wait to hear this, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Receive your reward and enter into your master's happiness." And some of you are saying, "Pastor, you give me a lot to think about." I go, no. God has given you a lot. So think about it. Will you stand with me? Let me pray over you. God, you have been so, so good. We've sung about that today. You've been so generous. Why in the world have you trusted us with so much? God, this virus called greed is so strong. And it's so easy to feel entitled. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help manage what is actually yours, not ours, but yours. So, Father, we want your great name to go into all the world where the lost need to be saved and they find their way at the sound of your great name. So, for Jesus' sake, Lord, help us to steward this treasure that you give us alone. And we don't steward it for ourselves, we steward it for you, for your glory. And in that, Lord, we find our purpose, we find our life, we find the reason why we have air in our lungs. And it's all to expand your kingdom, not our kingdom. So, Lord, right now we pray, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven through us and through our church family. We pray this all in the name of your son, Jesus, and the whole church said, Amen. If we can be a blessing to you, our prayer team is up here. We'd love to pray with you about whatever it may be, a concern, a joy. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus, whatever it may be. Please come right now. But can we give this God a big round of praise right now?